Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, continue our listener support campaigns, which have been so successful over the last couple of years, with limited availability of ad campaigns. As always, during the listener support campaign, if you send a donation of $7 or more, we will send you access to our premium site. But all donations of $20 or more will receive a digital copy of my book, All I Needed to Know, I Learned from Columbo, an ebook. And in addition to that, all donations of $20 or more will receive a special additional thank you. At the $20 level, you can enjoy one of the great Colonial Theater radio plays, including Zorro and the Pirate Raiders, the ever-popular Perry Mason programs based on the original novels, as well as their Father Brown mysteries. And at the $50 level, you can receive an autographed copy of my book, Tales of the Dim Night, if you live in the United States or Canada. Please note, we only have 4 of these copies that we can send out right away. So if you're interested in it, let us know. All right, well, we're going to bring you something a little different today. It's a rehearsal recording of A Life in Your Hands. The original date of the broadcast of the show was August 14th of 1952. However, it's a rehearsal recording. The big difference is it's missing the announcer parts, public service announcements, and music, which is a little inconvenient in this case, as you'll hear. But with that out of the way, I hope you enjoy today's episode of A Life in Your Hands, Captain Mendoza's Treasure.
Finger here, get your finger here. Amusement park killer accused. Read all about it. Finger.
Give me the times, Joe.
Oh, come right up, Mr. K. There you are.
Keep the change.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Say, there's a picture on the front page of the Dispatch, Mr. K. Don't you want a copy of that?
No thanks, Joe.
Old stuff, huh? One killer down and plenty more to go. I read about you questioning all those people at the trial. Sure was something, huh?
A man was almost given the death sentence for a murder he didn't commit.
Yeah, close call for him. What are you working on now, Mr. Peck?
A quiet evening and a night's sleep.
That's all I ever get. Day after day. Oh, wish something big had happened to me.
You never know, Joe. You never know when you may be called upon to testify to an act of violence in which you have become involved quite innocently. Why, Joe, even now, somewhere in the city, there may be a crime in the making.
Mendoz, are you in there? Mendoz, it's Kramer.
Wait a minute. What you want?
Didn't you hear me yelling for you downstairs?
I was asleep.
Sleeping off your drunk last night, huh?
None of your business why I sleep.
I keep a good room and house. You want to stay, you come home nights sober and quiet. Somebody's calling you on the phone. It's a woman.
Why you not say so? I wait for her.
You can talk down at the end of the hall.
Who will listen to what I say?
Nobody's paying any attention to your business. I'll hang up when I get downstairs. Gino, shut that thing off. Go on up the third floor with it.
Yes, sir.
Keep it quiet while I'm talking on the telephone.
I cleaned the horn.
Find something else to do. Now, phone's on the wall, there.
Well, why you wait around, eh? You want to hear what I say?
No concern of mine. Get to talking over quick. Don't tie up the line.
This is Captain Mendo speaking.
King Harling, Mr. Mendo. Your letter came today. I'm interested in your proposition.
I thought you would be interested, Miss Harling.
Is it genuine?
I know the old man in San Barbados who keep it for almost 100 years.
Tell me, why are you offering it to me?
You are a crazy woman who will pay more than treasure is worth to find it. This would be a little game you have never played.
Where is the place you want me to meet you?
At the waterfront, 708 Kinnaid Street.
I have no idea where that is.
You will find it. Come at 9 o'clock tonight.
Well, I can't possibly. I have other plans.
I will show you the map at 9 o'clock. Ask for Capitan Mendoz, or come to my room, 301. It will be a pleasure to see you again, Miss Harling. Adios.
Gino. Gino, turn off the sweeper. I said turn it off. Where were you when Mendels was talking on the phone?
I go to the third floor like you tell me.
You're lying.
No, it is true.
You weren't running the machine.
But it would not go.
You listened to what he said, didn't you?
I work. I do not listen.
Was he talking about the map?
I could not hear what he said.
You're lying. I'll find out what you know if I have to break it.
My arm. You hurt my arm.
Talk. Is it the map?
See the map.
Who's the woman?
The name is Harling.
Our old man's the banker. What did Mendoz tell her?
He say she come here at 9 o'clock and buy map if she wanted.
If she'd buy it from him, she'll buy it from me.
That's all I know. Let go of my arm. You hurt me.
I'll let go. Now, get up on your feet. Keep working if you want to stay around here.
I work.
You tell Mendoz this happened now.
I not tell.
You'd better not. Keep your big mouth shut. Your ears open. When I ask you something, answer me. You catch on?
See, si. I catch on.
I can't talk any longer, Betty. I just can't. Well, now that you've heard about it, will you go? Why not? I think it's the most exciting thing that ever happened. We'll fly down to Miami to pick up the cabin cruiser and take everybody we know and some shovels. What is not silly? Oh, to some waterfront rooming house. Well, of course, alone. Don't worry, I'll carry a hatpin. Look, Betty, it's almost 9 o'clock. You think over the cruise and I'll call you when I get back with my treasure map. Goodbye.
Well, Captain Mendoz, how are you tonight?
Move out of my way.
Do I have to eat, Captain?
What I do is my business. Stand away from the door, let me through.
270 pounds, Captain. If you want to try pushing me around, help yourself. You don't want to try, huh? Well, I'm glad you don't. It's no use us fighting. You know, I think it's about time we had a friendly talk. Got acquainted.
I have nothing to say.
Come on into my room and sit down.
I have nothing to say.
You've had a change since last night. You were talking loud and long then.
I go up to eat.
Whatever you say. Tell me where you're going to be, Mendoz, and I'll send over the immigration officer to pick you up. Surprise you, huh?
Oh, you know that I...
Come on in where we can talk. Never can tell who's listening out here in the hall. There's a chair for you. Sit down. You sure had a time last night. I know now why you were laughing so hard about that freighter, the Edgemont. I talked to the third mate on her today. He tells me they didn't know they had a passenger this last trip.
I stay in my cabin.
Hid in a lifeboat. Smuggled yourself ashore.
I leave tomorrow. I do not stay.
I can't blame you for sneaking into the country. The customs inspectors might have asked questions about a treasure map.
You know the map?
Sit down, Mendoz.
No, I leave this place
again. That woman that's coming to buy it tonight, why don't you let me talk to her?
No.
I'll make a better deal for you. Get you twice what you want and take my share for not turning you into the police. Seems to me like that's a good...
I have enough, Signor Kramer.
Get away from me.
You speak to the police? When I leave this country, I will leave this knife with you, senor.
My friend, wunderbar, wunderbar. Like the nights we spend in the park in the old country. Music, the talk, good friends together. It's so good to see you and hear you play, Hermann.
Yeah, Franz, yeah.
Again, Hermann. Play again for your old friend.
But the neighbors. I worry about the other people in the hotel. They try to sleep, maybe.
9 o'clock at night? They do not sleep so early.
Perhaps they do not like the violin.
What if they don't? Next door, the man break up the room, open and close the drawers to his bureau. I hear him banging while you play. Downstairs, they run the cleaner. Listen. Someone is always coming in or going out. All night long, it is a noise. We can have music if they have bang and crash and boom all the time.
Yeah. If you think it is all right, I will play.
Yeah. Play the song we used to sing with Frida before the war.
Ach, Frida. Oh, Frida. She's dead, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, she's gone. So many are gone. That is the way of resistance. In the underground, you live or you die. You escape or you are caught. No one is wounded or captured.
Frida. I remember Frida.
Ich weiß nicht. She used to sing it so beautifully. I remember one night in the...
Someone at your door.
Yeah.
You see, what did I tell you? They do not like the violin.
I go tell them. I say...
I will leave. Tell them I am leaving.
No. Sit down, my friend. It is next door. No one is bothering us. Huh? Forget the neighbors. Play Ich Weiß nicht, the song we used to sing with Frida.
Yeah, but softly.
As loud as you want to play. I will move out if they don't like it.
Captain Mendo, it's Jean. Jean Harney.
Aha, a woman.
Yeah.
What? What is it?
A woman screamed.
Where? What happened? What was it?
We stay here. We do not witness. You know what it is to see in the old country during the war? The witness dies too.
But that was the Nazis, Germany. This is America, the United States.
We stay in the room. Later the police come.
She said her name. After she knocked, she says her name.
Jean Harling. Come on. Play something. Play. So we will not be afraid.
Weber! Get your late paper here! Harris tried for waterfront murder! Get your paper, late paper!
Oh, here, Joe.
Oh, thanks. Hey, this new murder, Mr. Keck, this Jean Harling. You figure she did it? A lady like her, money up to here, killing some waterfront mug? It don't seem natural.
The prosecution says he was stabbed.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I always had the idea classy people like her never use a knife for anything but eating. Know what I mean, Mr. Keck?
Yes. Yes, I do. I know what you mean exactly. Here, keep the change.
Oh, thanks, but... Hey, a buck! You gave me a dollar, Mr. Keck! What did I do? What did I say? Hey, Mr. Keck!
If the court pleases.
Yes, Mr. Keck. Please come to the bench.
If it pleases the court, I would like to enter this case as amicus curiae.
It does please the court, Mr. Keg. I am very glad this case has interested the man of your reputation and standing in the legal profession. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, your attention. This is Jonathan Keg. He will serve me as amicus curiae during this trial. To explain, he is officially a friend of the court. He serves neither side, prosecution nor defense. Mr. Keg's object is to assist us in arriving at the truth through cross-examination. If there are no questions from the jury, you may proceed, Mr. Keg.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I would like to call the defendant, Miss Jean Harling, to the stand. Miss Harling, what was your association with the man known as Captain Juan Mendoz?
He wanted to sell me a map, a treasure map.
You intended to dig for this treasure?
Yes.
But, Miss Harling, isn't your family reputed to be wealthy?
Yes, but I thought it would be fun.
Did you inform your family of this plan?
I told some of my friends. I asked them to go along and make it a party.
How much did the captain ask for his map?
We didn't set a price. I was to go to his room.
You went there alone?
Yes, I knocked on the door to room 301, then waited. He didn't answer. I tried the door. It opened. The captain was lying across the bed with blood.
Mrs. Grogan, who lives down the hall, says she heard a scream, opened her door, and saw you running for the stairway.
That's right.
Why didn't you call the police?
I did.
Yes, after the story was in the newspapers, after you had talked with your lawyers. Why the delay, Miss Harley?
I was upset. I was never in a place like that before. I never saw a murdered man. I was afraid.
Afraid after the murder. Yet you went to such a place unescorted, without a weapon, solely on the strength of a letter from a man you did not know.
That's not true. I knew Captain Mendoz. 2 years ago, I had the cruiser in Haiti. My skipper went ashore, didn't come back, so I hired Captain Mendoz for the rest of the trip.
How long did he work for you?
2 months. He was insolent. I fired him.
You parted in anger, then?
I wasn't mad. I just didn't want him around anymore.
Look at this knife.
Yes.
Have you ever seen it before?
No.
This is the murder weapon, Miss Harling. Take a good look at it.
I am.
You knocked. You entered the room. Why did you scream?
I think I saw a man. I'm not sure. That's why I never mentioned it before.
Go on.
A shadow. It might have been the curtain. The window was open. It was like a man climbing out onto the fire escape.
Describe the man.
I can't. He was just a shadow.
Perhaps a shadow created in your mind to divert suspicion.
Oh, you can't say that. I didn't kill Captain Mendoz. I didn't.
That will be all, Miss Harling. The next witness, please. I want to question Mr. Bert Kramer, owner of the rooming house. Captain Mendoz was your guest, Mr. Kramer?
Checked in the day before he got killed. Came home drunk that night. I told him to get out. I run a clean place, and I don't want any shenanigans.
You have a criminal record, I believe.
That's why I try to keep a clean place. I don't want to get mixed up with anything since I turned honest.
You knew about the treasure map?
Mendoz did mumble something about a map when he came home roaring drunk. I didn't pay no attention.
Where were you when he was murdered?
In my room, alone. No alibi.
You seem to anticipate my questions.
I've had a few shot at me before.
Yes, I'm sure you have. Mr. Kramer, did you know Miss Harling was coming to see Captain Mendoz on the night of his death?
All I knew was some woman called him. I answered the phone.
You didn't know her name?
She didn't say. I didn't ask.
Did you see her enter the building?
Walked by my door.
Did you see her leave?
Pushed by me in the stairway. She was in a hurry.
That will be all.
Guess I didn't help you much, Mr. Keg. That's too bad.
I gained two valuable impressions, Mr. Kramer. You are hiding information, and you do not care to help the court find the Mendoz killer. You may expect further questions. Step down, please. Next witness, Gino Arucci. You are employed by Mr. Kramer.
Si.
Did you know Miss Harling was coming to the rooming house the night of the murder?
I hear Captain Mendoz talk on phone. She wished to buy the treasure map.
You knew about the map, too?
I am the one who tell, Mr. Kramer. I do not wish to speak, but he twists my arm so it breaks. I tell.
Oh, he forced you to speak?
See? He say if I tell Mendoz anything, he kill me.
Go on.
Later, he talk with Mendoz. I listen. If Kramer wants part of the money for the map, or he will tell the police on Mendoz.
Tell them what?
Mendoz sneak into the country.
Did Mendoz agree?
He say he killed Kramer.
Gino, did you see Miss Harling the night of the murder?
I see her. I hear a woman scream. I run down from upstairs and see her run away.
What were you doing upstairs?
Anyone will tell you. They hear me. I clean the hall with my sweeper.
At 9 o'clock at night?
See, I have nothing else to do. I like sweeper. All other cleaning boys have broom. Gino has a sweeper.
I see. You've done very well since you've been in this country.
See, I have machine to clean for me.
Thank you, Gino. That'll be all.
I go back to work now.
Please stay in the courtroom, Gino. I may have to ask more questions.
Thank you.
Your Honor, I would like to request a recess until tomorrow. At that time, I would like to cross-examine an innocent bystander to the Mendoz murder.
Court will recess until tomorrow at 9 o'clock. And we will call whomever you wish, Mr. Keg. And that person must testify.
Franz Gelkin?
Yeah, that is me.
Your occupation?
I'm a watchmaker.
Where were you on the night Juan Mendoz met his death?
In the next room.
You seem nervous, upset, Mr. Gelkin.
I have told you that I know nothing, nothing.
Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, my witness was a member of the underground in Germany during the war. I have tried to assure Mr. Gelkin that he is not on trial and is in no personal danger. I hope you will understand if I have difficulty in this cross-examination.
Mr. Gelkin, our purpose is to find a killer and protect the innocent. The court is aware of your experience. However, we would appreciate your cooperation with Mr. Cake.
Oh, Mr. Gelkin?
I understand.
Now, I want you to recall every sound you heard that might have a bearing on the murder. What were you doing at the time?
Hermann, he's my friend. Hermann was playing the violin. We had some beer. We talked and I listened.
You were concentrating on the music?
Yeah.
You wanted to hear the violin. Were there other noises which bothered you?
This place is terrible where I live. The walls they make from cardboard. You can hear people snore. They boom, they bang, they crash. I get used to it. I pay no attention.
A man was murdered in the next room, Mr. Gelkin. Now try to recall what you heard.
I think. I try, but nothing.
Your Honor, I would like to make an unusual request.
Proceed, Mr. King.
As you know, memory is linked with the situation. Using this principle, I would like to ask Mr. Gelkin's friend, Hermann Kleiner, to play the music he did the night of the murder.
It is irregular, but I will grant your request. Is Hermann Kleiner present in the court?
He is, Your Honor. Will you please help us, Mr. Kleiner?
Yeah, I help.
Now, Mr. Gelkin, try to concentrate on the room you're in, the music, everything that happened.
Yeah.
Speak whatever comes to your mind.
I close my eyes.
That might help.
We talked about the neighbors. Maybe they do not like the violin. Maybe the man next door open and close drawers to his bureau. Bang, crash. After a while, he goes out.
Later, the door opened and closed. Did you hear a key in the lock? Now, think carefully.
A key? Yeah, there was a key.
Then someone entered the room. Probably Captain Mendoz.
Yeah, that is right. The room is quiet. I hear the boy cleaning with the sweeper upstairs. It keeps running. The woman comes to the door. We think it is our door. She knocks. We talk about Frida's song. And the knock comes again. We know it is next door. She says her name is Jean. It is Jean Harling. The door opens, and we hear the scream.
How long after the door opened?
A moment, 2 or 3 seconds.
What did you and Mr. Kleiner do after you heard the scream?
We sat in the room. We were afraid. In Germany, if you see too much, they kill you also.
We understand, Mr. Gelkin. And now, to sum it up, bureau drawers were opened and closed. Someone entered the room. It was quiet until Miss Harling knocked. She entered and seconds later screamed.
Yeah, that is what I hear.
There was one other sound, a cleaner, an old-style vacuum sweeper running on the floor above.
Yeah, that is so. The boy, he pushes it around all the time.
If the court please, I wish to demonstrate the sound of that sweeper.
If you feel it has a bearing on the case, proceed, Mr. King.
The machine would be passing back and forth over a rug. Would sound like this. If the machine is standing in one place, if it is not being used, it will sound like this. Mr. Gelkin, which sound did you hear? This, the sweeper in motion? Or this, the sweeper standing in place.
That was it. That was what I hear.
Thank you, Franz Gelkin. You, an innocent bystander, have supplied us with information that will lead us to the killer. Your Honor, three people knew about the treasure map. Gene Harling, Gino Arucci, and Bert Kramer. Only one admits going to the murder room.
I didn't kill Captain Mendoza. You must believe me.
From the time you opened the door to the moment you screamed, there wasn't time. You are innocent, thanks to the testimony of Franz Gelkin. But you, Mr. Kramer, have no such alibi.
I was in my room.
Can you prove that?
No. You know I can't. But I didn't murder the swab. I wouldn't dirty my hands with him.
You have a good motive. Money. You have a record of crime. You cannot account for your actions during the time of the murder.
Sure, but I didn't kill him.
We shall see, Mr. Kramer. The only person with an acceptable alibi is Gino Arucci. Mr. Arucci, will you take the stand? Gino, you hate Bert Kramer, don't you?
See, I hate him.
Where were you when Captain Mendoz was killed?
I tell you, in the room above.
You said the hall.
See, in the hall, too.
You were cleaning the room. You saw the open window, the fire escape. You climbed down to search for Captain Mendoz's treasure map.
Kramer will not have it. I won't let him have it. I take it away from him.
Mendoz returned. He found you in his room, so you killed him with this knife.
I do not want to kill Captain Mendoz, but he twist my arm like Kramer. I'm blind with hate. I think only of Kramer.
So you stabbed Mendoz. You left the room when Miss Harling entered. She saw your shadow. Now, Gino, what did you do with the map?
In my sweep. I hide it in the bag of my sweep.
The sweeper you left running to cover your actions while you searched Captain Mendoz's room.
See, where the sweeper is, there is also Gino. Everybody says this to me. Everybody knows this.
Yes, Gino. Your Honor, Franz Gelkin's testimony leads us to an unusual murderer. Gino Arucci killed one man to revenge the injustice of another. A brutal man who twisted his arm.
Bailiff, hold Arucci for the murder of Juan Mendoz. Mr. King, this court owes you a vote of thanks. We greatly appreciate your help in bringing out the truth in this case.
That's very kind of you, Your Honor, but the thanks should go to our innocent bystander, Mr. Franz Gelkin.
You're right, of course, Mr. King. We can only hope that all Americans will heed this lesson in real citizenship from a newcomer to our land.
Thank you, and good night.
Good night, Mr. King.
Welcome back. Well, we have legal aces in the audience, so they may have more guidance. I don't think technically that the custodian would be charged with murder, at least not first-degree murder. It certainly wasn't premeditated. But maybe that would be considered a burglary, and burglary a felony, and a homicide committed in the course of committing a felony could be a murder. Be an interesting legal argument at the bench. Well, one of our listeners, Deanna, is calling foul on one of Mr. Keg's pieces of evidence regarding episode 850, Judge Cook Murder. How he solved the crime was that the lady heard the dog in the water and no dog would go into the lake without a reason. I beg to differ. I have two border collies and they don't need any excuse to go swimming in any water we come across. The river, stock dams, puddles and water tanks. So that piece of evidence is hardly enough to convict a man on. Just thought I would mention it. Enjoy the show and keep up the good work. Well, thanks so much for the comment, and it does raise an interesting point. And it is kind of a widely held assumption in a lot of mysteries that if a dog goes into the water, it is to fetch something. And this goes back to the Father Brown mystery, for example, the Oracle of the Dog. But there are always exceptions. Though the sound of the water wasn't enough for the conviction itself. Because you remember he had the area searched and came up with the murder weapon. It would have been embarrassing, of course, had the dog just been a normal dog that went into the water. Now again, whether dogs commonly go into the water, one thing you have to keep into account at night, just for the heck of it, maybe dog owners could speak to that. And maybe the example could have been made more palatable by some additional fact, like the dog was a trained dog, and so would only go into the water to play fetch. And perhaps some of this varies by breed. But as it turns out that Jonathan Cake was right, as he always is, it didn't matter that the route he took to get to the solution was a little precarious. But thanks for the comment, Deanna, and I'd love to hear from any other dog owners on their perspective on that. All right, well, that'll do it for today. I encourage you to support our listener support campaign at support.greatdetectives.net. Follow us over on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and be sure and fill out our listener survey, survey.greatdetectives.net. But from Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.